Okay, welcome everybody. Shout out to Hey Toby, Hey Yehuda, Malka, Sam, Ricky, Tamara, Tamir, and Mr. Klein. Welcome everyone. We're about to get started. I see that more people are outside, which is good. I think that's the weather. You got to be outside. I think if I went outside, I would like lose all like Wi-Fi connections and it'd be like a disaster. So I'm too scared to go outside. So I'm still going to hunker down in my basement for the time being until I can get off of the various, you know, technological things that are needed to operate my day. Okay. I want to actually begin once again. It's an honor to be able to dedicate today's shared memory of Avraham ben Polipuliza. And Avraham unfortunately passed away from coronavirus in Mexico. His grandchildren study here in Toronto. Those of you that know Eduardo and Olga, their grandfather passed away a couple of days ago. It should be Lidish Motel, as well as to Lisa Wanunu, Lisa Bat Miriam Vidavid. She passed away also just a couple of days ago as well. For both of them, it should be a Eilat Neshama. And it should provide a merit to Zechut for them and for their families and for all of Am Yisrael. So today's topic, once again, we're continuing with the theme of Yerushalayim. But today I want to appreciate the name Yerushalayim. Where does the name Yerushalayim actually come from? And remember, you recall what we discussed yesterday. Yesterday we discovered that Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Torah. I mean, maybe we didn't discover that yesterday. We spoke with it yesterday. And Yerushalayim is nowhere to be found in the Torah itself. And even in the Navi, it's buried and hidden up until the time of David HaMelech. And the question is, why? And that was yesterday's discussion. Today's discussion is, what about the name? Where does the name come from? And you'll recall, as we saw 2 days ago, that the word complete, Shalem hi Yerushalayim. The Malki Tzedek, Avraham meets an individual called Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, and Chazal identifies Shalem as Yerushalayim. But that was the name, shall we say, that was not given to that area. That name was given by someone else. So if it's true, where does the name Yerushalayim come from? And the Midrash in Bereishit Rabbah says the following. The Midrash says that when Avraham arrives there, when Avraham arrives to the place, it's Yireh. As we know, Avraham arrives at the place, Behar Hashem Yireh. When Avraham arrives at the Akedah, he calls it a place of fear, a makom, a har yireh. And Hashem, the Midrash goes on and says, Shalem, Shem called it Shalem. That Malki Tzedek was Melech Shalem, and he came from Shem, and he named the place Shalem. Hashem said, you know, Avraham, however, called it Yireh. But Shem, who is also a righteous individual, you know, I'm going to get him upset. He's going to be, you know, offended, right? So what I'll do is, I'll do a combination. Because after all, I want to combine these two holy people, these two righteous people. If I combine these two names together, then that will identify this location. And I will call it Yerushalayim. The concept of Yerushalayim. And in fact, the Midrash tells us that the city of Yerushalayim is made up of these two names. Based on these two encounters that Avraham has with the city. The meeting that he has first with Malki Tzedek that we saw on Monday, the king of Shalem, and also a few prakim later that we made a very quick reference to by the Akedah. And it's these two names, Shalem and Yireh, and fear, that come together to form Yerushalayim, and the one that Avraham gives is actually placed at the beginning of the name. And the question is, does this mean, like, what is this? How are we supposed to understand this, these two components? What does it mean when they come together? Is it just like, you know, it's like a puzzle. You know, I got a piece of a puzzle, another piece of a puzzle. I snap them together, and that's now what I have. Or is there something of greater significance? Is there something that has a little bit more significance to it when I, shall we say, snap these two names together? What does it mean? What is the meaning behind the name Yerushalayim that now consists of these two elements? And so these two righteous people call it Shalem and Yireh, and coming together, I believe, gives us a very powerful message. So what does it mean if it's a place of awe? If it's a place of awe and a place of service to God, what exactly does this mean for the name itself? And so I think the idea here is, you know, the concept of fear. When we say that this is a day of awe, when we talk about Yom Kippur, which often is translated as a day of awe, what does that entail? What does it mean truly to be in awe of something? Right? We don't usually use that term so often in the modern world that we live in. But what does that entail? Right? What does it actually look like? What is the meaning behind it? So here's what I was thinking. The real idea here, I think, is that Yireh and Shalem, in many ways, is talking about something where you have this notion of fear, but it's Shalem. It's perfect and it's complete. You know, when you're in awe of somebody, when you say, "Wow, I'm just, wow, how were you able to do that? Look at you. You are just an incredible person. I'm in awe of what you can accomplish." In many ways, you're saying that there's a sense of completeness. There's a sense of totality to that individual. And in fact, there's a midrash that actually describes Yerushalayim in that very way. That the midrash, and actually the midrash in Echa, that talks about Benot Yerushalayim, that Benot Yerushalayim, the daughters of Jerusalem, are in fact perfect in the eyes of God. Benot Yerushalayim is perfect and complete. And it has both of these components to it. And why? Because when you commit to something, when you're dedicated towards something, and Yerushalayim is, and if you take a look at what did Avraham do there, Avraham was a place of awe. It was a place of awe naturally, but what inspired Avraham was that he committed to that location. He committed to God. He committed to the act. He committed to being there. And by Avraham's commitment, by Avraham's loyalty, by Avraham's literally listening to the word of God, he, in many ways, transformed that experience into an experience of Yirah, an experience of awe, an experience of fear. Not fear from the sense of like, oh my goodness, I'm scared, it's like a haunted house. No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. But it's this idea of literally mushlam, of being complete. It's the city that has awe and fear. The question is, of who? Of course, it's of God. And, you know, sometimes when we say that we're in awe of God, what is that type of relationship? That type of relationship is one of sincerity. It's one that I'm truly trying to grow in my relationship. It's one that I'm aspiring towards something. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean necessarily that my relationship is perfect, but I'm striving towards that sense of perfection. I'm always working on something. There's a sense of awe and perfection, which are almost impossible to attain, but it's something that I strive to attain. I'm inspired by trying to arrive at Yerushalayim. And anyone knows it. When you arrive towards Yerushalayim in the modern era in 2020, right? And you're totally captivated by the place itself. And that, I believe, is one of these ideas behind Yerushalayim, is this idea of it's a sense of perfection that we strive and that we yearn towards, that idea of perfecting and trying to enhance our relationship and to develop our relationships of God as we try and reach both the place, the physical place itself, but much more about the relationship with God. And that's what really Yerushalayim, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, really is all about. And so that's the first thing I wanted to mention. But it's more than that. It's much more than that. Because the word Shalem, the word Yerushalayim, is not just complete, but it also comes from the word Yireh Shalom. And in fact, there's another midrash that says Yerushalayim is about Yireh Shalom, not about fear, but Yireh is about peace. And in fact, it is not so simple in Hebrew when the word means fear or the word means to see, because it can and often is used as a play on words in the Torah and many different ways, and the Midrash and the rabbis often play that game of fear and seeing, right? I'll give you an example. I could do a share screen, but I don't want to. Instead, I'm going to read to you a passage that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. It's worthwhile pointing this out. You have to be almost an incredible expert in Hebrew grammar, but it really, I think it says something amazing. So we say every day, I don't know if anyone can see this. This is like old tech trying to hold a book up to a screen. It's like old tech meets new tech, right? So we say in our prayers and our davening that Vayar Yisrael Esayag HaGdolah, the Jews will see God's mighty hand, Asher Asasha Mitzrayim, and look at the next word, Vayir'u Ha'ames Hashem. So did they fear God or did they see God? You hear me? Vayir'u. Now I realize for most people, you know, how do you pronounce this word? So this is one of the very few cases where pronunciation totally changes the meaning of the word. Is this pronounced Vayir'u or is this pronounced Vayir'u? Is it almost 2.5 syllables or is it just 2 syllables? What's the difference? Those of you that really know Hebrew grammar well, is this Resh, Ashvana, or Ashvanach? Ashvana is half a syllable. Ashvanach is that actually is assimilated into the next syllable. That's a little technical. Happy to explain that a little bit more another time. But why does it matter? It matters because does this mean that the Jewish people see God, that they fear God? And you're going to ask, what are you talking about? You can't see God. He's God, right? How do you see God? But the Midrash says that the Jewish people saw God at the Yam Suf, that they witnessed divine revelation. They witnessed the hand of God. In fact, they even witnessed a sense of prophecy that many prophets didn't attain. What are they talking about? This is the word that they're referring to. That there is actually a tradition that the Jewish people literally saw God, experienced God, felt almost God's presence extremely palpable, like they were a prophet, like they were Isaiah, like they were Yechezkel. And they almost literally had this God type of encounter. But the real pronunciation is Vayir'u. So if you're davening and you're praying, you should really pronounce it that way. And if you're reading from the Torah, that's actually the proper pronunciation because it means to fear. But the play on words is amazing because often this is so true. Seeing and fearing. There's no question when you fear something, sight plays a very powerful role. That when you see something, right, it's very hard to fear something without seeing it. You know, think about those, shall we say, those mean teachers that you might have had in your educational career, right? You know, sometimes seeing them elicits the fear factor, right? Their strictness, their behavior, right? It's not the same if you just, you know, hear about it. It can. But definitely, Vayar, when you see it, it elicits often that sense of fear. And there's no question, you can describe Yerushalayim all you want. If you see it, you experience it, you definitely can feel the majesty. You can feel the awe. And we know that sight has that incredible power often to be a precursor, the pretext of often leading to fear, and in fact, to so many things as well. And so when we talk about that, there's a mitzvah of Shalosh Regalim. There's a mitzvah that's a pilgrimage mitzvah that we go to Jerusalem 3 times, right? And what is, and listen to the play on words. What's the play on words? The play on words is that we need to be Yera'eh, right? Bahar Hashem Yera'eh. So when Avraham calls it, it's a place of fear. Later on, Moshe is going to refer to it as that we need to what? We need to be seen by God, or we need to fear God every time we went to Yerushalayim. And the answer is, of course, it's both. It's both. That both when we go to Yerushalayim, it helps instill in us a fear of God. It instills in us in a sense of God and majesty and a sense of awe. And it is so important sometimes that even God sees us. You know, we miss our shuls very much, but sometimes it's important to just be seen, right? There's incredible value sometimes in being seen at events. And in many ways, that is exactly the function of the Shalosh Regalim. It is not just enough to fear God. There's something about being seen. It is something about almost seeing God, seeing God's presence. And God needs sometimes to see us. We just sometimes need to show up. And that is also so true with so many things that we do in life, We sometimes just need to be there. We have to experience it. We sometimes have to attend. And that is one of the functions of the Shalosh Regalim. Not just that we're supposed to have a sense of you know, a fear of God, although that is important. There's also this idea that we have to be seen. You know, we got to take a selfie at the Makom HaMikdash, right? There's something valuable towards that. I'm not being dismissive of taking selfies or pictures of being in all these places. There is value in seeing yourself there, right? Not just a place of fear of God. Okay, and that's where this notion of fear and sight, it's a play on words, and there's an interplay that exists in many places in the Torah. I just wanted to give you a few examples. So again, the Midrash itself has this play on words, that it's also, it's not just fear, although that probably was the original intent from Avraham Avinu, but the Midrash picks up on this nuance of both fear and being seen. And especially that what? Another name for Yerushalayim is Yireh Shalom. He shall see peace, right? And as we mentioned yesterday, this notion, what's the function of Yerushalayim? The function of Yerushalayim is also about peace. It's about the sense of unity. It's about brothers coming together, Shevet Achim Gam Yachad, Hinei Matov Uman Naim. And where did this specifically take place? There's no question. It took place in Yerushalayim, which is why, sadly, when we talk about the Churban and destruction, often it makes no sense to have a place of Yerushalayim and of peace and the Beis HaMikdash when the people are so fragmented and there's a sense of disarray and hatred and animosity between the Jewish people. It only makes sense. It's not a punishment. It's just a consequence that there'll be no place of peace, that there'll be no seeing peace when there isn't peace among ourselves. And that is almost a consequence much more than it is a punishment. Continuing with this idea, it's an ear, as we say in Midrash in Tehillim, Yerushalayim is, of course, ear shechubra la yachdav. Shechubra la yachdav. What does this mean, ear shechubra la yachdav? So it's, of course, Yerushalayim is a city that has literally been joined together. Rabbeinu Bachaye explains, what does this mean? He says something fascinating. He says, it's like we have, what's like Yerushalayim? It's like we have two eyes and a nose and nine. It is almost as if we are a person. It's almost as if we have a face. We have this idea of a face, of totality of a person, of almost this human image also connects to the meaning of Yerushalayim. And it's funny, Yerushalayim is actually spelt differently throughout the Tanakh. So according to what I've discovered, Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh, right? Never in the Torah, not once, but appears in Nach 667 times. 641 times it's in Hebrew and 26 times in Aramaic. Now here we go. Out of the 641 times that it appears in Hebrew, which is actually Yerushalayim, the name is written, the name Yerushalayim is written only five times in Malay, five times with that yud, meaning Yerushalayim, right? Where there's a yud at the end of the Yerushalayim. Everywhere else, it looks as if it's Yerushalem, not Yerushalayim at the end. There's no yud. So the vast majority of times, there's actually no yud at the end of Yerushalayim, giving it that would always be that E sound, even though when it does appear in the Tanakh, we read it as Yerushalayim, even without a Yud. But nonetheless, what does this mean? What does it mean that Yerushalayim really, most of the time, should be pronounced Yerushalayim? On this, I think, is a very powerful message as well. Why? Because Yerushalayim, there's something about shalem. There's something about complete. There's something about peace. And in many ways, I think that's exactly the real name of Yerushalayim. Why the yud? Why is it pronounced im at the end? Maybe we'll get to it later. Although my research was a little bit not great, but I have a theory. But the idea behind it is that the yud is missing. And on this even, Rabbeinu Bachaye has an amazing commentary. He says, why is the yud missing? How come we pronounce with the yud, but the yud is actually missing? He says, because really Yerushalayim needs, the emphasis of Yerushalayim needs to be about completion, about perfection, and about peace. That what? And why is there a yud then? So maybe one I saw out there, it wants to connect. Or two, Yerushalayim, yud mem at the end of a word is often plural masculine. And there the message is, there's two Yerushalayims. There's this Kabbalistic idea. There's this spiritual idea that there's two Jerusalems. There's a Jerusalem of the supernatural, in the heavenly Jerusalem on high, and there's this physical, terrestrial, almost lower type of Jerusalem. And what maybe this means is that really, God loves Yerushalayim so much, and he wanted to bring this Yerushalayim almost, the Yerushalayim sort that God has, he wants it to be experienced. He wants it to be located in the Yerushalayim that we have down here. That is perhaps one idea that I saw of why Yerushalayim is sometimes spelt and always pronounced with that sense of in the plural form. Which I thought was a very, interesting insight. Okay. Once again, just a reminder, if people want to put your video cameras on so we can see everybody, greatly appreciated. We are going to continue. Okay, now, on this idea, you might even say that these two Yerushalayim, this physical and the spiritual Yerushalayim, might be these two different components that of Yerushalayim that exists. But almost like a physical Yerushalayim and a spiritual Yerushalayim. In many ways, Malki Tzedek, when he names it Shalem, maybe he's referring to almost this physical type of Yerushalayim, right? And it's Avraham Avinu, maybe, who's suggesting there's this other component, there's this other idea here of this spiritual Yerushalayim, a fear of God, that in fact comes together again, these two different aspects of Yira and of Shalom. Okay, maybe that was just a thought that I wanted to postulate. Next, another idea of just the name Yerushalayim. By the way, I should mention Yerushalayim has many names. There's actually a reference to 70 names of Yerushalayim, and each name, of course, has various different reasons and nuances. I'm just today just focusing on the name Yerushalayim because that's today's topic. But really, 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 there's so much to talk about the city of Yerushalayim, and every name has different nuance and a different aspect to the beauty of the city. But there's another area that I wanted to end with. And that is Yerushalayim also has another dimension to it. And by naming it after Avraham Avinu and the context of Avraham Avinu and literally where Avraham sees the divine presence, there are those who would like to argue that this is emphasizing almost the chesed and the kindness. That since we're giving the name that Avraham gives and bestows to the mountain, in many ways, it's taking the aspect of Avraham and Avraham Avinu, who really epitomizes the idea of chesed and of giving. When he had guests over, he wanted to give to them, wanted to provide for them. The Torah says that Avraham is going to be epitomized by Tzedek and Mishpat. Avraham is going to be known to teach and known to educate this idea of tzedek, of justice and righteousness. And that is going to be the main component of Avraham. And by saying that, we're really emphasizing Avraham's characteristic as well, that when Avraham literally sees and experiences God, it's through this aspect of chesed and of tzedaka. And if you want to know the main function of Yerushalayim, what's the main function of Yerushalayim? It is also going to be the center of Torah, and the Torah is the center of chesed, as we know from Megillat Rut. Megillat Rut is all about chesed and all about kindness. And the Torah, the Midrash says on Megillat Rut, is also all about chesed and all about kindness. And if you have in the center of adjudicating, the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin is located in Yerushalayim. What is their role? Is of course to make peace, to make shalom between the Jewish people. And so Yerushalayim also stands at the epicenter, at the center of tzedaka, of justice, of helping, of ensuring that there's going to be kindness. And by the way, it doesn't just mean that it's always the poor person will win. No, that's often a perversion of justice. But rather, there's going to be a sense of justice. There's going to be a sense of kindness. And sometimes kindness is that, you know, those people who deserve to be right are going to, in fact, be correct. And so that's another tremendous function of Yerushalayim as well. This chesed, the tzedakah aspect, the tzedakah mishpat aspect that Avraham really stood for is also so prevalent. And that's the beginning of the name of Yerushalayim. Why we want Avraham's name to the place to come first, because that really is the most important component of Yerushalayim, is in fact what Avraham gives it the name, because that's what Avraham in fact stood for itself. So that was another idea that I wanted to share with everyone today. Okay, I'm looking down at my screen and I just realized that it is almost 1 o'clock. So I guess with that is going to wrap up another aspect of Yerushalayim. And I think, God willing, if we can truly appreciate and understand this idea of fear of God, and by fearing God, we ourselves become more complete. And while, yes, of course, there's this physical location of Yerushalayim, in many ways, this idea of Yerushalayim can exist almost lahavdil everywhere. If we can see the idea of the fear of God, or if we can try and see God and see God's presence in everything that we do and what we try to accomplish, that leads us in many ways to becoming more shalem in our own personal lives. If we see ourselves as trying to perform the will of God, if we see ourselves as trying to truly help other people, if we have that sense of awe, if we don't say to ourselves, you know what, I know everything, I have all the answers, I can control everything. If there's one thing that we've learned over the last few months, is that we cannot control everything, we do not call the shots. We have that sense and appreciation of Yiras Hashem, a sense of true fear of God. I believe it helps lead us to becoming shalem, to becoming more peaceful, and to becoming more complete as well. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you so much for joining. It's great to see so many of you, really almost on a daily basis. It is absolutely incredibly uplifting for me, and I really do appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow as we wrap up our week of Yerushalayim. And of course, maybe Zoche, maybe Merit, to truly come together, Shalem, as one people, as one family, in Shul Yerushalayim HaBnia very soon. Have a beautiful day, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you.